Hello and welcome back to Panels Full of Hunks. My name is Chris and we're going to talk about some supernatural comic books. But this time we are not covering the next issue of the normal Supernatural 2025 comic book run. We are covering the Valentine's Day 2026 one-shot spinoff, which let me tell you, different writers, different team. Just as delightful. Had a really great time reading this. Fantastic art. Really keeps the same tone, I guess, that we've come to expect from the current Supernatural run. That kind of early Sam and Dean tone that we're used to. So this is written by Preeti Chibber, and the art is by Pascal Colano. Hopefully I didn't butcher their names, and I'm really sorry. I tried to do that right. So yeah, this is the team that's going to be behind the new Castiel comic, and I will just tell you, after reading what I read here, I am very much looking forward to that Castiel comic now. This is a good sign. This is a look at what's to come, and I'm glad they're in good hands. Because you never know, switching creative teams for a series like this, you never know how one offshoot is going to feel compared to another. But so far, so good. I was pleasantly surprised by everything I read here. Shout out to Akari in the Discord for reminding me that this Valentine's Day spinoff exists, because I completely missed this. And then you told me about it, and then I forgot that it existed again, and then you reminded me. Because we've been in a drought here waiting for issue 7. I finally caught up with the main comic, and now I'm behind. Or behind on episodes, I should say. So, shall we get into it? The cover art, first of all, you gotta look at the cover art. The cover art is very intricate. It's got this, sinister-looking heart design at the center of the cover with Sam and Dean in front of it. I believe Dean's holding the first blade, Kane's weapon, and Sam is holding that weird sickle thing that he has in all of, the promo shots from season 1 that we never see him use in the show. I think he puts it in his bag in episode 1 and we never see it. So I appreciate that. Everybody doing comic book art is just like, no, Sam's going to be holding that thing. that ridiculous scythe that he was carrying. So we start out in Huntington, West Virginia. Oh my gosh, I'm just realizing, oh my gosh, who am I? Why did I just censor myself? I just realized that there's no cold open. We just start. We just hit the ground running. There's no cold open to watch a murder take place. Well, this isn't my Supernatural. No, we start with Sam and Dean. They're in Huntington, West Virginia. The boys, they've just picked up a case from the newspaper. It, standard Supernatural stuff. Sounds like an animal attack, but there's some, strange hallmarks. There's weird bite marks. They can't identify it to any specific animal, so sounds like our kind of thing. Dean tosses the paper into the trash before Sam gets a chance to read it over. And we, the audience, we the reader, we see a headline on the newspaper in the trash saying, "The Town Without Love." So, given that this is the Valentine's Day special, guys, I'm thinking that might be a clue. So the boys, they've read about this murder. So the first thing that they're going to do, we get shortcuts. We don't need to know everything that the boys are doing between here and when they arrive at the morgue in their FBI getups. They talk to the mortician, Dr. Coley, and she is in the middle of a breakup with a guy named Terry, I believe. She's on the phone breaking up with him or trying to get back together with him, or he was trying to get back together with her. I mean, she's a doctor. He's like, I missed out. This is my meal ticket, this beautiful woman, and she's a doctor. And Dan, I'm breaking up with her. What am I thinking? Am I crazy? All right, tone it down, Chris. Pipe it down, buddy. They get there. She's in the middle of a breakup. They're like, whoa, okay. And after she gets off the phone, Dr. Coley explains to Sam and Dean that poor Betsy here, she's the victim of the quote-unquote animal attack, was in the middle of trying to mend a breakup with her ex-boyfriend, I guess, when she was attacked. We don't see the body, but Sam and Dean do. They take a look at it. Apparently, it's pretty gruesome. All we see is that it looks like a hand is missing, and there are bite marks on the victim, but there also are burn marks. And that's very strange. And the boys have to wonder, what bites and burns at the same time. That's kind of unusual. Later, they head to a diner and Sam and Dean once again walk into a breakup in progress. Some dude is angrily breaking up with his boyfriend, Derek, and tells him his mom's pie sucks too. That's just, dude, Like, I'm breaking up with you, you suck, and your mom's cooking sucks. That's rude as hell. That's dirty, dude. There's no coming back from that. But that's all Dean needs to hear to want to order pie. And Sam's sitting here like, isn't that a little weird that we just walked in on two different breakups? And Dean's not all that concerned. Dean's love life is really not on his mind. In like season one, season two, that's just not what he's worried about. And as a matter of fact, I thought this was definitely going to be a plot point, because as a matter of fact, while they're ordering food, Dean immediately becomes smitten and distracted by the waitress taking their order. And Sam was like, hey, focus up, bro. They discuss the case and, you know, talk about what they think it is. They're talking about Dad's diary. Like, hey, what's did Dad write anything about this in his journal? And over we see nearby, there is a woman kind of listening in. She's eavesdropping on them. And when they get up to leave, she follows them. And I loved this section because it's just such it's classic Supernatural. I was totally on, like, I'm locked in. Uh-oh, this woman is tailing them. What's going to happen? And then, bam, double brother bluff. They're the ones tailing her. They pull a little move, and suddenly they got her cornered in an alley. One brother on either side. In other circumstances, this would be very predatory, but we know the deal. She was following them. They clocked that she was following them right away, and they get the jump on her, of course. But yeah, I love a good double brother bluff, and every time it shows up in one of these comics or whatever, I treat it like it's like the best thing in the world. I spent a lot of time really considering there is a rat in nearly every panel of this page, and I was like, this rat's gonna turn into something. I don't believe this rat turned into anything. It's just like POV, you're a rat watching something insane unfold in an alleyway. But the woman who has followed them, she isn't really saying much, and Sam starts to try to de-escalate the situation. You know, Dean had his gun out, so Sam's like, all right, like, what's going on, lady? Like, we don't need to make this into a whole thing, but what are you doing? Why were you following us? And that's when this woman approaches Sam, and she touches his face, and she says that his heart has been broken recently, and she can see it in his face, and his heart, it's all over him. She can tell that his heart was broken recently. And then the rat, POV your rat, runs by. There is a flash of light, and then the woman is suddenly gone. What the hell was that all about? So the next morning at the motel, Sam and Dean have been doing some research, or I guess Sam has just been doing research and Dean was drinking beer and then going to bed. And Sam reveals that there hasn't been a single successful relationship in this town for 6 months. I don't even know how one reports on that. How does that make the paper? That seems like a challenging thing to document. But I guess if it's so widespread and everybody you know suddenly goes through a breakup, then it becomes a little bit more obvious. So that's definitely weird. Anyway, Sam's got a hunch. So he leads Dean to a nearby farmer's market, and according to Dr. Coley, this is where all the town gossip can be found. This is where people will come to do some idle chit-chat, and they talk to all sorts of people. Sam and Dean split up, and they hear lots of very similar stories. They both talk to, like, you know, an elderly couple, an old man and a woman who have just recently broken up after years of marriage, so this is really weird. And they are basically getting similar stories from all walks of life, not just the elderly, like everybody there. It's just like a few weeks ago, you woke up and you couldn't stand your partner anymore. So everybody started breaking up. And there is actually just very randomly some very cool art on this page, which should be just a really normal scene of them investigating and talking to people, like nothing too exciting here. We get this really cool page layout of like leaves of trees like swallowing everybody up. As I don't even know what that represents. It just looks really cool. As they're getting further and further into the weeds, it's like the branches of the trees are surrounding them. And that's when they hear a scream, and they dash off towards the nearby woods, and they first find a woman. She's sitting on the ground, she's pointing further into the woods, and she says she was just trying to apologize to her boyfriend when something happens. Or her boyfriend was trying to apologize to her. I don't know. Dean rushes forward to find not only a body on fire, but that woman who followed them out of the diner last night, she is standing over the body with an unnatural gleam in her eye. Dean fires at her but misses, and she declares that was a mistake. I guess I would think the same thing if somebody shot at me. she transforms into what looks like a four-armed deity. She's got swords. She's got the whole thing. The whole page layout, like, it changes color to reflect what I assume is a goddess's power. She's colored, like, I was like, it's multicolored, but she's like the sky at dusk, and she's got these bright yellow and green edges to her form. It's very striking. It's a really beautiful page. But as she fights the boys off, she said, I did not do this. I did not do this to the boys. To the man on fire here. I'm only doing this because Dean shot at her. So, like, fair enough. And Sam is able to calm everybody down, de-escalate the situation a little bit. And it's as if her goddess form is, like, pulled away from her. It, like, drifts back up to the heavens. And we get another really beautiful panel as we see, you know, that essence kind of fade away and she appears human again. So now that everybody's chilled out a little, Sam asks how this woman knew about his heartbreak. And she again says it was written all over his face, his eyes, his heart. And she knows that pain all too well, and she wanted to stop anyone else from feeling that pain. She seems to be the one behind all of these sudden breakups, but she denies having anything to do with these deaths, with Betsy and Terry here. I may have gotten things a little bit mixed up with who Terry was dating. It's not important. You get the idea. She goes on to explain that she is a Hindu goddess named Rati, and she was to be married to the god of love, Kamadeva. And then he was taken from her, and since then she has been caught in a cycle of trying to get him back and then losing him again. And she explains that the only way to save her love is to not be with him, but that hurts. And the boys have sympathy, but if she's not behind these killings, then that's quite the coincidence that we have, like, you know, a goddess here in town doing something supernatural. Meanwhile, supernatural deaths are occurring. Like, yeah, that's quite the coincidence, lady. It's you know, it's kind of hard to have a serious conversation while there is a burning corpse next to them, though. So Rati decides that she's going to teleport them back to their motel room. And she explains that Betsy was the first person she used her influence on, and maybe the effect was starting to wear off. Then the next person she used it on was this Terry guy, this the second victim, which means that they might have an order for who the next victims will be. And she reveals that it was an old couple from the farmer's market, Abe and Alice. So they're going to have to track them down, which means splitting up. So this makes sense so far, right? Like, she, this goddess with this power appeared in this town, started making everybody fall out of love, I guess to spare them the pain of that love. And now, for whatever reason, it seems to be backfiring. And as the spell or whatever she did to people starts to wear off, this monster seemingly is coming and killing them. And so we're going to follow the order in which she casts the spell. So that means finding this old couple. They got to split up because Alice and Abe aren't living together anymore. So Dean is going to go find the old guy, and Rati teleports Sam directly out to where the old woman is staying with her sister. Dean's like, all right, I guess I'll just fucking drive. Go fuck myself, I guess. So Alice, the old woman, she isn't home yet. It's kind of dark out. So Sam and Rati sit down on her front porch and wait for her. And Rati asks Sam about his heartbreak. And he explains what happened to Jess. He explains what happened to their mom. And Rati says that she could make all that pain go away. But he says he doesn't want the pain to go away. He doesn't want to forget any part of Jess, even the part that hurts, which is very sweet and very emo and very Sam. And I appreciate that. When Alice arrives home, she is like, what the fuck are you doing at my house? I saw you at the farmer's market today. What's going on here? And they ask her if she was planning to get back together with Abe. And she says, well, as a matter of fact, he just called me on my way home saying that very thing. Cut to Dean. Harsh cut to Dean over at Abe's farmhouse, carrying the man out of a burning building. It seems that since he was the one that the spell wore off of first, that whatever is attacking attacked him, and his house is on fire. And Dean is carrying him out. Sam and Rati, they teleport there, and Rati carries Abe away to safety while the boys try to fight whatever monster is behind this. They don't know what it is. We can see it, but it's very scary looking. It's like a hellhound mixed with a gargoyle, and it kind of reminds me a little bit almost of, like, Venom from Spider-Man, like, in that, like, bestial form with the big old tongue sticking out, or like a licker from Resident Evil. It's pretty badass. I'll be real with you guys. It looks pretty badass. and it can teleport, bummer. It can teleport just like Rati can. It's also immune to bullets. Double bummer. And it's hungry. Extra bummer. And it's only after Sam. So that's a medium bummer, depending on, you know, who you ask. That's when Rati appears to blast it. She's blasting the sucker. She realizes everything now. Facing off against this monster. This thing, this monster, it's her grief made manifest. I mean, I guess when you are a god, these things can happen. She's able to, you know, step up, use her goddess powers to defeat this thing. And with this beast defeated, Rati realizes the error of her ways. She realizes you can't just, you know, come in and ruin people's love lives to spare them the pain. You don't get to make that choice for people. So she sets off back to town, or she decides to set the town back to normal so that love can return again. And by the time that everybody gets back into town, you know, the boys and Rati, they can already see, like, you know, love blossoming again amongst all the people they pass. She acknowledges that she was wrong for what she tried to do. And after confronting her feelings, she feel like maybe she can now start to heal. And, you know, sorry about those two people who died, though, from my meddling. But, I mean, I guess she didn't intend to kill anybody. It was just a side effect. So, whatever. They saved the people and hunted the thing, kind of, sort of. Dean is like, hey, I'm not one for therapy, but, like, in this case, maybe it works. She starts to fade away, and she suggests that her and Sam might be able to heal sooner than they think. And I'll be real with you, Rati. I don't think Sam is ever going to heal. I think that boy's always going to have problems. So the boys drive out of town, and they are just flabbergasted that they just met a god, because we got to remember this is season one, season two, where they just found out that demons were real. So, like, what's next? Angels? That's actually literally what Dean says. Like, well, what's next? Angels? And a laugh track plays, and we all have a good hearty laugh. And I like that that's like a teaser for this team doing the Castiel comic next. I think that's kind of fun. So I'm curious what seasons or whatever, like what era the Castiel comic will be set in. Is it season four? Is it season six? Is it later? Like, what era of Castiel are we going to get? I'm very curious. But yeah, this was a fantastic issue. I had a ton of fun with this. Once again, obviously, these episodes tend to be pretty short because I'm just telling you about a comic. The artwork was amazing, and I think that it's definitely worth the read. I mean, all of these have been worth the read. If you're a Supernatural fan, just check them out. Just check them out. If you're a comic book fan, the artwork alone. Just flip through the panels. You're going to have a good time. Yeah, it's both of these writers, both for the main Supernatural series and for this, have really captured Sam and Dean, that kind of early season Sam and Dean characters, very well. I think that this bodes well for the Castiel comic, which I believe comes out in June. So that's not too far away. Looking forward to that. I have high hopes for that, definitely. So, yeah, this was a lot of fun. I mean, these were always kind of my favorite types of episodes for Supernatural, especially in those early seasons. Mostly focused on the monster of the week, but then dipping into, you know, the boys' drama, the boys' issues here and there. You know, Sam's grief is not at the center of this storyline, but it does get brushed upon, and those were always the best kinds of monsters of the week, so this captures that very well. I'll be curious to see if they do another Valentine's Day one-shot next year, but this was a lot of fun. Definitely worth your time. And all right, thank you everybody for listening, and I will see you again next time whenever issue 7 of the Supernatural comic comes out. And if not, then it'll be when the Castiel comic comes out. But all right, everybody, take care. Bye.